Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, I want you to stay with me. It's going to be a time of motivation, some inspiration, education, always done without any type of manipulation. That just simply means we don't ask for money. We don't appeal for money. We're not asking you for a dime. We're not asking you to join anything. We're not asking you to give up anything. We're not asking you to sign anything. The only thing I'd like to ask you to do is listen. Just listen. Give me a chance to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job is to get it accurate and get it right here on the Flatline. So if you're a regular Flatline listener, you know what this show is all about. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, and education without that manipulation. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to go through something that I just taught recently in a church in Georgia, and where one of my dear friends is a great pastor, does a fantastic job, and by the way, all of his material is available free of charge. You can access it at any time. If you're ever interested, let me know. But the natural disasters that we have faced in the history of this world are pretty significant. I'm going to give you a few of them here in just a minute. But what I want to tell you is they are nothing. They are nothing compared with the disaster that is coming. The disaster that is coming is beyond human imagination. The disaster that we will face in the future on this earth, on this planet, not you, you won't be here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not be here. You may see it from the sidelines, but you're not going to be involved in it. But there are some things you will be involved in. So I want to go through those with you today, and I want you to see the disasters that await the future according to biblical prophecy and some of these disasters that we've seen in the past, like the earthquake in Haiti, 2010. You may remember that, but as I say, you ain't seen nothing yet. That earthquake that hit the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince was unbelievable. It affected more than 3 million people, and there were over 200,000 deaths. That's incredible. Unbelievable. That's a catastrophic scope of damage that you can't believe. 30,000 buildings destroyed, 250,000 homes wiped away. But that was nothing compared to the tsunami that hit Sumatra in 2004. It would mean it was an earthquake of only 9.15 on the Richter scale. It lasted only 10 seconds, but it resulted in 300,000 deaths in the shores of Indonesia, Sri Lanka, southern India, and Thailand. You remember Hurricane Katrina that hit our own Gulf Coast land down around New Orleans on August 29, 2005. That was the sixth strongest and fifth most destructive hurricane that ever hit the United States, and it killed 1,900 people or so. And the damage was estimated at $81 billion. And then in 2011, the Joplin tornado, catastrophic EF5 rated multiple vortex tornado that struck Joplin, Missouri on Sunday, 22 May 2011. Unbelievable, killed 158 people. Damage according to the amounts, according to $2.8 billion. It was the costliest single tornado in U.S. history. And that's just part of it. And you can go on and see the St. Louis East tornado. That was incredible. That was a historic outbreak that occurred 27 May and back in the 1800s, 1896. It caused over $10 million in damage. That would be $4.35 billion by today's average. About 250 people died. Thousands were injured. 5,000 were homeless, lost all their possessions. And then the Bam, Iran earthquake that hit. 26,000 people killed when the earthquake hit the city of Bam, Iran. and it was unbelievable. 2003, magnitude 6.6. 80% of the buildings were damaged. And just unbelievable. That's some unbelievable destruction that we have in the history of the world. But nothing, nothing compared with what the world will see in the future. For example, just give you an example. The next event to happen in terms of biblical prophecy is called the exit resurrection. The exit resurrection, you may know it as the rapture of the church. But this is when believers are taken off the earth in an instant. Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those that are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not go before those that have fallen asleep," that's passed away. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That's them getting their resurrection bodies. "And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord." Now, if you'll think about this, any believer diving down the interstate will be taken. Any believer flying a plane will be taken. Any believer in charge of anything will be taken. They'll just disappear. Can you imagine the carnage? Can you imagine the wrecks? Can you imagine the disappearing act? Thousands of people, Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you yourself, if you have unbelieving family members, they won't be able to find you. They will wonder where you went. If you were driving your car and this took place, or me, if I'm in my boat fishing and then they find the boat empty and there's no Rick, I'm not there. And you're going to say, "Oh, the poor guy drowned. He fell overboard." They'll be searching the lake. They won't find him because we'll be gone in an instant. This will be carnage because it'll take place over the whole world. Millions of believers in Jesus Christ will disappear, and no one will have an answer for it. The second cataclysmic event, violent event, that'll take place is at the Battle of Armageddon. You see, once we leave, once the church is taken out of the picture, then we go back to Israel's seven final years in the prophecy of Daniel. And we know that is the tribulation. And we know that at the end of the tribulation, that Satan himself, through the beast and the false prophet, seek to destroy Jerusalem. And we know that it's this point in time that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, will return. And he will stop that. And I will now read to you the carnage that will take place. Revelation 19:11-21, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." This is the warrior Savior. "His aura is a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, crowns. He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood." That's the military tunic, and you will see why there's blood on it here in just a minute. "His name is called the Word of God." John 1, remember? "The Word was with God, the Word was God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean," you and me, "will follow him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepresses of the fierce wrath of God and the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And then I saw an angel. Here's the carnage. This is what's going to happen after he comes back. And remember, the reason he comes back is to establish and set up the 1,000-year reign called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. "And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in the mid-heavens, come and assemble yourself for the great supper of God, so that you may," don't get sick now, here it is, "so that you may eat the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against the one that sat on the horse and against his armies. And the beast was seized, and along with him the false prophet, the one who performed those signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped his image. Those two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the one that sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ will slaughter his enemies when he comes back. This is a catastrophic thing that'll happen. The false prophet, the beast thrown into the lake of fire, Satan locked up, chained up, put into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years until the end of the millennium. And you cannot tell me that's not going to be a very bloody, bloody thing. I'm showing you these things because I have something to teach you in relation to these things. There's another event that we know about called the baptism of fire. And the baptism of fire takes place once the millennial begins and all of the unbelievers on this planet are removed. They're taken off. You can read about it in Matthew 25:31-46. Those who came through the tribulation and failed to believe in Jesus Christ, failed to receive him as Savior, will not enter into the millennium. But anyone in the tribulation who did accept Christ will go into the millennium, into the thousand-year reign of Christ, and they're capable of marrying and having children, as you'll see, the Bible says. And Satan is locked up in the pit for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says he will be released. What's he going to do? He's going to come out and he's going to test, tempt, and try those who were born, those who lived during this 1,000-year reign of Christ, those who have never, ever known satanic deception. He's a master deceiver, and he will have the ability. Listen, if he could deceive one-third of the angels of heaven and convince them to follow him in a rebellion against God in eternity past, it'll be nothing for what he's going to do here when he comes out. And so the Bible says in Revelation 20:7-9, when the 1,000 years are complete, Satan will be released from prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war, and the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Does that sound like a lot? And they will come up on the broad plain of the earth and surround the camp of the saints, that's Jerusalem, and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Mass destruction. Listen, this should convince you of Satan's power, persuasion. Don't you ever think you're a match for his brilliance and his deceptive powers, because he can deceive many people. But the final event, the worst of all, the most cataclysmic, unbelievable event in the history of the known world, will take place at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And Peter writes about it in 2 Peter 3:10-15. Here's what he says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, this is not the second advent. This is not the rapture of the church. This is not you being taken out in the rapture. And this is not you coming back with him at the second advent to set up his millennial kingdom. This is something different. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. This is the destruction of the known universe as we know it. There will be no more sun, no more moon, no more earth. Everything will be destroyed. Listen as I read. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God? That's the day that everything is destroyed, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which the righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you're looking for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and spotless and blameless. What Peter is describing is the end time events that we know as the end of the age of the millennium, when all of that we've ever known will be completely destroyed. The universe will be done away with. Listen, God created it in one day. He'll end it in one day. But the word that I love is this passage, Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away. Now remember, there are three heavens taught in the Bible. The first heaven is the atmosphere around this planet. The second heaven is the stellar universe. And the third heaven is the presence of God. The presence of God, or heaven as we know it, is not destroyed. But the universe and the earth will be taken out. They will be gone. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And it's on the new earth that you will spend eternity. Suspended above the new earth will be the new Jerusalem. Unbelievable city we'll talk about in this study. And you'll be able to go back and forth in and out of that city to worship God in your resurrection body. So keep that in mind. The atmospheric heavens around the earth, the stellar heavens of the universe, and the third heavens are the presence of God. Now, are you a citizen of America? I don't think so. The Bible says if you're a Christian, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body so that it might be conformed to his glorious body. This is you getting a resurrection body at the exit resurrection. You see, the body you have now won't work in heaven. The body you have now is infected with sin, just like the entire universe is infected with sin. Satan goes all over the universe, you know, and the Bible says we fight spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, stellar universe. It's all going to be wiped out because it's all infected. So, hey, let's send some astronauts to Mars. Great idea. Good idea. What are you going to take to Mars? Sin. Sin natures. You send an astronaut to Mars, he's got sin. He's going to have sin nature in Mars. And are there any aliens? I don't think so. But think about this. I think there's great humor in this. When this event takes place, oh, the poor Martians will never know it hit them, right? Their planet's going to be gone. Pluto's going to be gone. Uranus is going to be gone. The Milky Way will be wiped out. We're going to get a different body, a different place to live. You know, there is an angelic conflict going on in the second heaven, the stellar universe, right now. And that's where Ephesians 6:12 tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. That's the first heaven, the atmosphere, and the second heaven, the stellar universe. So remember, during the millennial reign of Christ, during that 1,000 years, those fallen angels and Christ all locked up, unable to interfere with his kingdom reign. Not going to happen. And remember, when he's let out, that he's going to deceive the nations, and millions will believe him. And it's after he is done away with that this point that God the Father pours out wrath on the sin-infected planet. Once Satan is in the lake of fire, the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire, all sin-infected areas will be purged, 2 Peter 3:10 through 14, and we will have a new heaven, and we will have a new earth, and it will be minus any satanic interference or any sin-infected humans, since we'll all be in resurrection bodies. And the new heaven, that's going to be totally different. The new earth will be totally different. You want to hear what it's going to be like? Listen to Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven, that's the stellar universe, and a new earth. And the first heavens and the first earth were gone, and there was no more sea. No more sea. Did you hear that? On the new earth, there's no more sea. Two-thirds of the present earth is covered with sea and water. And the remaining one-third that we live on, large areas of that are even uninhabitable to us due to mountains and deserts and whatever. I mean, we really live only in a small portion of habitable stretches on this earth, don't we? This new earth, this new heaven, it might not be the same circumference as this one. I don't know. But I know it will be our eternal home. Revelation 21:2, and I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is now among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. And the first things have all passed away. This takes place on the new earth, my friend, not in heaven, on the new earth. And what about this new Jerusalem? Remember the streets of gold you've heard about? Going to heaven, the streets of gold. The streets of gold are in the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is Revelation 21:9 through 22:9. And the new Jerusalem, and he carried me away, John says, in the spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And he talks about it. Unbelievable. You can read it for yourself. I don't have time to read it all here, but I'll read part of it for you. It says, the city's laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are all square, all equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards. There's a wall around this new Jerusalem, 72 yards high. And it goes on to say in the Bible, according to human measurements, which also are angelic measurements. I just read that out of the Bible. You ever heard that before? The material of the wall was jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. It goes on to talk about that. The streets of the city were pure gold. There's your streets of gold in the new Jerusalem on the new earth. And the glory of God illuminates it, and the lamp is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, will have his throne in the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. And it will be no night, the Bible says. And then it said, he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb in the middle of the street. There will be no longer any curse. Thrones of God and the Lamb will be there, and his bondservants will serve him. That's you and me. And we will see his face, and his name will be on our foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. They'll have no need of light, no need of a lamp, and no need of a sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them. So the sun is gone, the moon is gone, the brilliance of God himself will illuminate us. So when we die today, I mean, we go to the third heaven, and we are reunited with loved ones, yes. We're given some sort of transitional body, yes. But we await orders to come back with Jesus Christ our Lord. And the reason I bring these things up, the reason I point these things out, is because you're still tramping around in a dump called earth. So if you're going to be confined here for a short while longer, there are some things you must be aware of. And that's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:11. Since all these things are going to be dissolved, the earth as you know it, what manner of person should you be in holy conduct and godliness, longing for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven and the new earth, in which righteousness dwells forever. And there's verse 14 again, what we will study. Because of this, beloved, while you wait on these things, I command you to be diligent, so that you will be found by him to be in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's what I want to focus on in our study. What things is he speaking of in verse 11? These things to be destroyed. Well, the elements are going to be destroyed, the Bible says. We know there are four atomic elements, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen, and they make up about 96% of your body. All of that's going to be gone. There's not going to be any more elements. God created the elements so he could create you. You're made out of those elements. There's no need for these things anymore. This is truly an apocalyptic vision beyond our scope of imagination, what John saw. It's unbelievable. Our God dissolves the very elements of the universe and creates a completely new existence for us with a new heaven and a new earth. The destruction of the universe at the end of human history is absolutely, literally, not figuratively, the most horrific fact in the future of the history of the world. Nothing will ever come close. And we are to have no concern. Listen, there's so much to talk about here. A lot of people have no concern about a lot of things. I mean, they get distracted by circumstances and by people. They fail to focus on the facts that are in front of them. For once, I want you to focus what's in front of you. This earth is not going to be here forever. This earth is going to be destroyed. And you have just been given your mandates that as long as you're here, you are to live in peace and spotless and blameless. The only reason this hasn't happened yet is because the Bible says God is long-suffering in 1 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is very merciful. There are people yet to be saved. The end is not yet. And all of this destruction of the known universe, you'll already be gone. You'll already be in your resurrection body. But it'll happen. But while you're here, you have been given clear instructions of how you're supposed to live. And I'm going to major on those the next few shows. Spotless and blameless and in peace. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. There's a lot to come in this. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.